Oh, yes, we forgot. Sister Yehoshua, Yanchi should give us a testimony first. Come. Oh, maybe sit there. I almost forgot. Sister Yehoshua, come on. Oh, yeah. And give us your testimony.
Hi. For people who have not known me yet, I'm Yanqing. I came to this church because of Jensen. Okay, testimony, so from the day I'm born. I was born in a very traditional Chinese family. The problem is those kind of families is we have a lot, very strong, it's not even Taoism kind of belief, but it's a strong, a lot of multi-gods kind of belief. So, and I'm the eldest daughter in the family. So since young, I'm told, okay, you need to bye-bye those deities and gods. And maybe I'm spiritually inclined to that world. So, and my family has a lot of trouble. My mother and my grandmother, they cannot get along well. So there's always quarrel in my family. So what I do as a small girl, I always run to the back of the, because it's Malaysia, so they have very huge backyard. So I run to the back and talk to the tree. And below the tree, there's those statue. Okay. So this actually plant a problem in my spiritual life later on. Then I get to know God when I was 16. Okay, it's through a church camp. It's a summer church camp for the teenagers. But surprisingly, my parents let me go, though they know it's a church camp. Then went there, people share gospel with me, but being a very stiff-necked people, I just rebel everything that they say. And I question them, is there a hell? Is there a heaven? So there's only God that can do that. But why? So whatever they say, I just talk back, blah, blah, blah. Then, but I think they actually plant a very good seed in my mind. I feel that church people are very nice. They are very welcoming because it's a camp, so we stay there. The next morning when I wake up, a lot of people come by and ask, maybe I'm blacklisted, I don't know. Then people just come by and ask me, are you okay, sleep well, that kind of question. I feel very touched. Then after that, we go home. But throughout the 1 year, I have yet to convert, but there's struggle in me. Because I know that my parents, they are so stubborn. If I convert, the problem, there will be a disaster in my family. So there's a struggle for 1 whole year. The next year, I went back to the church. My brothers, they actually, the last day of the camp, the pastor, is the pastor, I can't remember, he asked if we want to believe in God. Then he invited people to walk on to the front. Then we'll do the prayer together. That time, I still struggle because I'm the eldest daughter in the family. If I decide to convert, my parents, well, there'll be a war in my family. But my brothers, they went on. They went to the front. Then I just sit there and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry because that struggle. Then I think one of the sister, one of the quite elder sister, my group leaders in my group, she just hold my hand, then walk with me to the front. So we kneel down and did the salvation prayer. Then after that, I can feel that there's change. But there's stronger spiritual war. As in, since young, I can see things, I can hear things, but become more serious. Then I can feel, the voice is getting louder and louder. I did tell my mom about it. She asked me to ignore. She said it's some monster that disturbed the children. But I think it's something to do with that tree. Then things just go on, just hide the secret from my mom, try to go to church, but on and off lah, because cannot go to, obviously, cannot go to a fellowship. Sometimes I'll get the leaders there to give me a ride and go to a fellowship, but everything is hidden from my parents. Then all these things just go on until I go to uni. The problem become even serious until at the night I just go to laundry and I can see the ghost hanging somewhere and looking at me. Then I was very scared, and I'm very blessed that at that point of time there's a sister. Initially, I thought she's very naggy and she's very irritating. They keep on bugging me to go church. Because I don't have a habit to go church every week at that time. And uni life is very stressed. The whole concentration and focus is on studies and get good results. But that time she keep on bugging me, because Sunday is the only day that I can sleep later. She keep bugging me to go to church. I go on and off with her. Then after a while, get regular. Then also went to the fellowship. Then the people there actually asked me, did you still hear the noise and see anything? Surprisingly, there's a long period of time that I did not hear anything, I did not see anything, so really praise the Lord that protect me against the problem. But whenever that my spiritual level go down, get lazy to study Bible or whatever, I can sort of feel some illusion, but things get better when I really need that and repent against the Lord. So I'm very blessed with loving parents. I'm very blessed with all the journey that went through. God humble me down, teach me lesson in life, and now give me Jensen. And his parents also, taught me a lot. So really praise the Lord about all this. So continue to learn, and hopefully if there's anything wrong with me, then brother and sister can point out to me. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a, a long journey. How old are you now? How old are you now? 29 now. So you, from the day you were born, you've gone through all that shamanism and all that idols and all that stuff and being haunted by demons and things like that. Now that's a long journey. One thing for sure I want to tell you, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that once you're truly born again, once you've got the Holy Spirit of God in your life, Satan will have to leave you. He cannot touch you. Alright? And he might come and put pressure on you, but no demons may, you may get hallucination if you are, yeah, if you are breaking the bond of the Lord, you backslid. There are people who backslid, they struggle. There are people who actually, they don't struggle at all, because they completely just go back to the world and make money and do whatever they want. So there's no struggle. But for the child of God, if you backslid, if you are truly born again, if you backslid, there is always a warfare. The black dog and white dog will be there to struggle out there in the battlefield. But if you say you're a Christian, you can be a 20 or 30 year Christian, you backslid and you don't have that struggle, you know something is wrong. If you don't have that struggle, it seems everything is fine, without going to church, without worshipping, without prayer, without Bible study. And then something is really wrong, because your mind is already focused on that. And you have not God with you anymore. You just leave Him. Like, practically, you just leave Him. All right. I just want to let you know that the greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. Amen. All right. Let's stand and sing that song, and then we go to the message. We're going to have a very short message today, just because we're going to go to Sumbong Wan Park for the baptism. All right. And those who have a car who could give a ride, to those who are going, wanted to go, please do so.
When my eyes behold the stars, this heart of mine is filled with wonders. My poor mind cannot grasp their rings. But the hands that still can turn down that way. No, 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 no.
Wonderful Savior, wonderful Lord, mighty God, wonderful friend, wonderful, wonderful, for Thou art wonderful, O Lord, great Counselor, Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, Savior, mighty God, Lord, Thou art Lord of all in our life. We thank You, O Lord, for Your grace. Truly, Lord, we see all the glory that is spread out there in the whole wide heaven. It's a secret, O Lord, known to only to You. Why You place all the stars that are up there the way You placed it. We know, Father, even the secret that is known only to You is made known somewhat, Father, to us. To understand that, Lord, all those that You have displayed out there in the heaven tells us a wonderful story. It gives us an understanding of the great, wonderful, almighty God that loves us and have written our name in this wonderful book of life that are spread out there in the whole wide heaven. Lord, we thank You for that secret made known even to us, a little bit of what we can understand. We thank You, Lord, for Your love in our life. Thank You for today that we could gather ourselves together once again, Father. To come fellowship, worship, and to hear Your word again, we thank You. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our spiritual understanding to, O Father, to see what You have for us, Lord, in Your plan, in Your purpose, for not just the world, but especially for Your children. So, Father, we thank You now, even as we sit at Your feet, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit, that in the name of Jesus, Lord, we will have a blessing from You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, we just want to have a little recap of what we have last week and try to finish that off. Now, as we have looked at the Scripture, I understand that there are three witnesses that God had already, from the foundation of the world, planned it out to display to us redemption story. The first being the sun, or the stars. The second being the stones. And the third being the scripture. Now we know that before the Bible was written, God had this displayed redemption story in the heavens. Because after all, God's relationship with mankind is face to face to begin with. When He put Adam on the earth, He would come down in the evening and fellowship with Adam and Eve. But when sin came, man did not have that privilege as he had before. But still, even though the heavenly dimension was veiled from Adam and Eve, God still personally desired to have fellowship with mankind. He would still speak to man, but through in a special way. He would sometimes appear in theophany form, in angelic form, and talk to men. But we realize that before the Bible was ever written, the star itself, the stars in the heaven, display all that redemption story. It tells the story of the fall of mankind and then how that a redeemer would come. Men tried to understand it, and we know from history that Job was one of those very, well, you can call him a sage, you know. There are many of these people like him, shepherds who are out there in the field by night, watching over their sheep. They will lay down in the, you know, on the field, and then look up into the heavens at night and look at all those stars displayed out there. Now, being that the Celtic people, they were God's chosen people. They were the pure line. And so God would reveal some knowledge to them. And that's why we have men like Abraham, whom God called, and Job, and even in the days before the Tower of Babel. All those shepherds up there, those who are in contact with the Lord, those who are a true worshipper like Job, they will look at the star and study it. And they could understand from some of that which was written out there in the vast heaven. Now the thing is, of course, the secret is in the Lord. And we know that only God reveals whatever He wants to reveal. If He doesn't want to reveal to us, that means we will not know it. And that's the same thing with the revelation that we have today. Why is it that God give us this understanding, this revelation of the Godhead, of the serpent seed, of the original sin? You know, and the trail of the serpent, the revelation of the seal and so on. Why is it not given to everyone out there in the world, for that matter, just the churches out there? And we understand it from this gospel that when Jesus was with the disciple, we get the answer from there. When Jesus spoke, you know, when he preached, rather we will say, or he taught. And he taught them all in parables. And the parables are something that is like the star displayed, narrated, a story being told. But yet, the mystery is hidden. And for that reason, Jesus told the disciple, unto you is made known the mystery of the kingdom of God. Unto those out there it is not given. So therefore, always remember, consider that we are a privileged people to know the reality of the one true God. Right? So every religion have their own, the belief that they have the true God. We have, of course, the Muslims say there's no other God but Allah. We have the Hindu, there's no other God but Krishna or Muttu or whatever the name is. And so with the same thing with the Sunnis or the Buddhists or the Taoists, all these various religions. Every religion will claim that they have the truth. Obviously, or why would they believe what they believe? You know. But the thing is this, that no matter what a claim may be, and I believe there's only one thing, the truth is made known to us. It's from the Scripture. Not only that, because we claim the Bible being the truth, but also the other religion, they have their own scriptures too. Is that right? They have their holy book too. But God held the mystery for so many years until 100 years ago. Or less than 100 years ago, we will say. When God let the whole scientific world proved that the Bible is the only scripture written by God. God showed to the world that there is no book in this world that can be proven scientifically. Not only just what the Bible said about prophecy, about the heaven and the stars and the things that, in fact, nobody ever could find back then in the days it was written. When the Bible, even the book of Job, God said that the earth was hung upon nothing. And it's round. Back then in China, already 4,000 years of history, they still believe that the earth is flat and sitting on top of a turtle. And the Greeks have their own where Atlas holds the planet. And they have all their mythology. But yet the Bible tells us. Even the Bible tells us about televisions, even before it exists. Huh? And many other things. But only the last century that God had an atheist converted him and used him as an instrument to prove that nobody could write the Bible except the Lord, God Almighty Himself. So it doesn't matter what scripture you hold to, what holy book you hold to and claim to believe in that it is true, you have to prove by science. I think that's the best way because man says we need to have a proof. Well, we already have the proof even before science came. Because the Bible changes life. Amen? The Word of God changed your life. Of course, not every Christian who says they are Christian, their life will really change. But only those who are truly born again, the life will be changed. So, we realize then that even though we have been Christian, some of us for many years, the Bible seems to be still holding a lot of secret. A lot of mystery not known to us. But when God sent Brother Branham and opened and to give us the revelation of the seven seals, then a lot of things changed too. This Bible becomes a new book to me. Or to anyone. When they can see what God is doing in this 20th century or 21st century now. Alright? So, once the seven seals were revealed and made known to us, we began to understand a lot of things. And one of the things that we understand, therefore, is that God displayed His redemption story in the wide heaven. And we see that at night, just to look at the stars at night, we see them all there. And we, as we say, the last Sunday, when the shepherd looks up there in the night, they look at all the stars that take a star as a dot in the hole, in a parchment up there in the sky at night, in the heavens. And it will join to another star, another dot as a star, and then join and then look at it as a group, as a constellation. And then they give names to the stars. Even as the Bible said, God called the stars by name. And you know, you might think that it's strange. The constellations are not just all these stars joined together. But within themselves, there are other stars grouped under them. You know, only the main ones that are joined together, they have a name. And sometimes you wonder, I was just wondering, here we are a group of constellation here. We are a constellation. We are stars joined together in one group, one place. There are other, in other countries, Africa, India, the Philippines, America, Europe. You understand what I'm saying? Alright? Because this is all we are. We are a group of stars coming together, worshipping the Lord. So, the shepherd were able to look up there and then they map it out. I don't know how they did it, but somehow they did it. And these are constellations are not modern day things. Huh? It has been there in ancient history. Alright? So that is the first book. And as we read also in the book of Psalms 19:11, just go there anyway, to just quickly pick it up. Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The firmament show His handiwork. And 97:6. The heaven declares His righteousness and all the people see His glory. And that is one of the things about that. The Bible is here, say here, by, I think this is King David who wrote this psalm, most likely. The heavens declare His righteousness. Now, God declare His righteousness. But if the heaven declare His righteousness, the heavens are displaying all this constellation of stars or stars. You and I, we all make the righteousness of God. We are made righteous by God's only begotten Son. Is that right? Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him righteousness. Remember? And if we are all sons and daughters of Abraham, we should be. How many of you believe that you are sons of Abraham, daughters of Abraham? Amen. Only see one hand. You are sons and daughters of Abraham. Are you sons and daughters of Moses? If you put up the hand, I'll shoot you. You know, people say, I'm the son of the prophet, Brother Branham. Now, you're not the son of the prophet, Brother Branham. Huh? Abraham was specially chosen as the father of the faith. There's only one father of the faith that we are traced back to. We cannot be saying that we are traced back to Moses and to Gideon or to Ezekiel or to Daniel. No, you don't trace back to them. You are traced back to only one beginning. When God chose Abraham to begin to give the gospel. So he's called the father of our faith. Do you understand that? Because even Jesus said, or even as Paul said, not all Israel are Israel. Sure. It doesn't matter what they claim. Like the Pharisees, we are Abraham, we are Moses, we are this, we are that. They can claim every prophet and every patriarch. But there is only one faith. And that faith goes straight all the way to Abraham. You see. So, the stars, the heaven declared the righteousness of God. And all the righteousness of God are displayed in heaven. And that's the reason why the world wants to see. And the Bible here says, and all the people see His glory. And how did the people see God's glory on earth when Jesus came? How did they see His glory? He manifests God. And we are supposed to be the seeds of, or we will say, the church, the bride of Christ, part of His body, or the church as a whole, His body. Then, we're supposed to display the glory of the Lord. But sad to say, some Christians, they don't display the glory of God in their life. And that's why, if we have a changed life, if God changes us, let us walk in the light. Let our life be manifest. Displaying the righteousness of God, displaying His glory. Amen. Alright, because the stars out there representing, and always say, look at all these star display Arcturus. The Bible mentioned about that. And always, when I always look at this, I always marvel how wide and how deep is space. How vast is space. Alright. Okay, all the stars up there, you see, the stars of them, they are just out there too. Now here we come right now to look at some of the things that we need to try to understand. And this is the zodiac. I don't know whether how many of you are familiar with zodiac. You might be familiar if you once upon a time was a very superstitious person. Who was a superstitious person before? Brother Hank, come on, I know. How many of you look at horoscope before? Yeah, you do. Alright? Anybody else? No. So, people look at horoscope. This is Why we have a problem? You know, there are Christians who do not believe. They are on the internet. This website I went to, I was, you know, when I Google on the link for something, and I saw this on the first few lines of the Google. It was a website by a woman preacher, and who said that the mark of the beast is the Star of David. So the six-pointed star of Israel is the mark of the beast. So this guy, this woman must be really crazy on that. Because he turns back to ancient history where stars are being observed, and this shape was drawn, and that shape was drawn, and things like that. How many of you know about the five-pointed star, the inverted five-pointed star? Inverted means to say that the top point is not upward. The top point is downward. So it's still five-pointed star. And then they have a circle around it called a pentagram. All right. And then you can see that if you have an inverted five-point star, the top 2 points is the horn of Satan, and the one that is downward is the beard of Satan, and the side, of course, may be his little sideburn. So they have all this imagination. Yes, we know that every time when God does something, displays something, we have the Antichrist comes along, and well, we have some false prophet, some so-called holy man of ancient time. They will always try to imitate. They try to create a religion out of it. You know. We take, for example, Cain and Abel. The revelation of the true worship of God based on the blood. Not just blood of an animal, but blood of an animal that is clean, without blemish. Huh? The best of the flock. But here we have Cain. He said, oh yeah, I know God wants the best. Obviously, everybody, of course, unless you're poor. I remember, you know, those days. What my wife told me about the story about what the mother did. Because they were not Christian at that time, and when they prayed to those idols, you know, they only want chicken and the best that they can afford, you know, worship this one in the kitchen, and after they go to the front door or to the living door, whatever, you know, all the gods, and let them share all the chicken. But just imagine, even in any religion, when they worship or render worship to their gods or their deity, they will always buy the best, wouldn't it? Unless, of course, they're poor. They can't be helped. That's the reason why you go to the market, you see some new festive season coming. You can see these old folks. When they want to buy the oranges, they choose the one that bears and big without blemish. Huh? To offer to their gods. Obviously. It's very natural. But what we have is Cain knew it was the best, but he doesn't want to follow being. It was with the blood. So there is always a thin line between, you know, between the truth and error. Satan will come along and imitate, and that's what we see. So some of these Christians, I know there are Christians in the world who don't believe that the stars tells the story. So when we talk about the zodiac, many of these will think that when you as a Christian studied about the zodiac or the stars, not just studying the zodiac, but talking about the star, the constellation itself. Not because we are talking about Capricorn or the Sagittarius or Scorpio or Libra or Gemini. No, it's not that. Because in each of these constellations, there are other stars involved. Sub-story within the framework of the whole Bible story. So when we study that, people think that we are into astrology. We're not into astrology. I already told you, first comes the star, then comes the constellation, then comes the astronomy, then you come astrology, then come our horoscope. So Satan will come along and add upon it. So when God displayed the stars up there, did the sages of old, did the believer of ancient time like Job, do they worship the stars? No. They don't worship the stars. They worship the God who displayed those stars for them to see His plan and His purpose and the redemption story that was written up there. You know. After all, if I were to be living back in those ancient times, I mean, there's no scripture, nothing. And if I wonder what life is all about, and if I'm from the line of Seth, I will be knowing that the God of, you know, my forefather, Adam, Seth, and all that it came down to Noah. And I came from one of the three sons. And I look at the stars, I know the history, what they have gone through, what happened in the garden. Now I'm looking at the star. What is all this? God must have a reason. If I pray and worship the Lord, God will definitely give me an understanding. It's just like I'm reading the scripture. That's what the Bible says. Search the scripture, for in them you find eternal life. So in those days, there were no scripture, but the scripture were all up there as in the stars. It's God's book up there in the stars. And for them to understand God's plan and God's purpose, what God is doing. And they knew what God was doing, what His plan was when He created the whole universe and put man on this earth. That's why we read in the book of Job, we understood that He knew about the resurrection. He knew about the tribulation that would be coming upon this earth. Now you think about it. So the star in the heaven was not displayed for nothing. But to the astronomer, the space out there, the stars up there is a fascination. They just want to explore what's out there. You know? What made the whole universe tick and how did it come about? So they were looking at that. To the astrologer, they are looking at the star, oh, the star moved this position, that position, and line with this and that. So their life might be affected. So they should not be wearing certain color of clothes on certain days and certain such a thing. And Capricorn cannot marry Scorpio because you'll be eaten up and stung by the Scorpio to death or something like that. You know what I mean? You all know about that horoscope nonsense, eh? The astrology. You're not supposed, if you are a Capricorn, you're not supposed to marry certain of this sign of those born under those signs. Right? Those who are into this horoscope before, astrology before, should know. So I don't know whether you've got the right wife or right man or not. So if we were to follow all these, our life will be guided by all this. But our life is not guided by zodiac, not by horoscope, not by astrology. You know, the stars does not guide us. It only guides you when you are going on a journey to find what direction you are going. You know, from one place, precision A, to destination B. You are going on the journey ancient time. You don't have... Wow, well, we have GPS, you know, a map. So they have to look at the stars and the precision of stars so they know where the north is, and wherever they're supposed to go. Like the sailor out there in the sea, they use the stars to guide them. And that's all. But we don't believe in the star to guide our life on this earth. Our journey in life is not guided by the stars. Our journey in life is guided by the Word of God. So I hope you understand that. So here we have that in the book of Job. Well, shall we go to the book of Job so that we can understand about this little thing about the constellations thing. All right. Now in the book of Job, we realize that Job had gone through a trial. Well, as I already told you this, why did God allow Job to go on a trial? Well, God wanted to show him something. And I believe that the same thing with many of us. We go to trial and sometimes we need to, meditate a little while we go to trial. And I like Brother Ying Fang's testimony. And I think that is very true. If you put God first, I think that's the most important thing in life. It's not about your examination coming up next week that you have to avoid coming to church and you've got to study until that you went through? Burnout. It doesn't mean that you study, the more you study and escape Sunday, escape fellowship on weekday, that you think that you get score a higher mark. And I believe that the most important thing, let the human spirit refresh. When you are refreshed within, your mind is refreshed. Honor God, and God will honor you. For sure. Of course, that doesn't mean that I don't have to study. I come to church every Sunday. Monday to Wednesday, Saturday, I don't have to study. It doesn't mean that. It's just that people think, I believe in Jesus Christ as my God. He will provide food on the table. I don't have to go to work. Food will appear on the table. No! The Bible said that I have never seen God's people begging for bread, which is true. If you put your faith in the Lord and you do what humans have to do, like Adam was told to do, toil. Is that right? You ask the Lord, I need a job. And you look for the job, God will provide you one. You cannot just sit at home, Lord, I need a job, and you stay at home, hoping that someone knocks the door. You want a job? God sent me to ask you to come and work for me. You think that will happen? You're a lazy bum. So as Paul said, he that don't work, don't eat. Every one of us have to work. Every one of us have to know our position in life and our faith in the Lord. That's well. Knowing the Lord, knowing the truth, we live as we are normal. And the Lord will honor it. Otherwise, it's something different. All right? So now let us see how that Job, when he went through all this, a disaster. Let us read from verse 1 to verse 5 and have this as a background here. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, and his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his son went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the day of their feasting was done about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offering according to the number of all of them. For Job said, it may be that my son have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. So did Job continually. So you see, he was a rich man, have everything in life. So what happened one day? But Job still always petitioned, always prayed for his children. Because the way that our children are behaving, he believed that they might have sinned. And so we read in verse 30. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaean fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servant with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and have burnt up the sheep and the servant, and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone. And while he was yet speaking, came yet also another, and said, the Chaldean make out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came yet one more, and said, thy son and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine, and in their elders' brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord giveth, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. But of course his wife did, who later on told him, we read it, that she told him, say, why don't you just curse God and die? Yet in all this, what was because Satan appeared in a congregation of believers and worshippers and accused Job. That God blessed Job, and that's why Job blessed him. So he would just put Job to a test and see what Job would do to you. He was telling Satan was telling Almighty God. And of course, God seized the opportunity to test Job, knowing the character of Job, that there are still things he needs to know. And sometimes I wonder how many Christians in the world today, they go to church, they say they know God, and yet there are still things that God wants to show them. But yet again, we know that God doesn't show everybody. And that's not fair. I agree and telling me that's not true. But let us look into the categories of the world. We have the world, we have the church, and we have the true believers, the elect. We have the 12 disciples. They're all God's people. They're Christ's disciples. One of them is the devil. So the devil goes to church, don't forget. Huh? And then all the 11, Jesus took 23, Peter, James, and John. Is that right? To see the kingdom of God come with glory on Mount Transfiguration. So it's not fair, right? After all, it's not Bartholomew, a disciple of Jesus. How come he wasn't chosen? What about Thomas? And yet when Jesus showed Peter, James, and John the Mount on the transfiguration and a mountain, he told them, don't tell anyone about this vision. He specifically told them not to tell anyone. Remember one thing, there might come this last final trump of God. I don't know. But if the last trump takes place, and the seventh thunder comes upon the scene and visit you or appear before somewhere wherever you are and tell you something, and spoke the word that changed your body. And he will tell you, perhaps they will tell you, say, don't tell anyone. What are you going to do? Perhaps they will tell you that. Don't tell anyone. So, there are certain secrets. I don't know how the last trouble comes about. Besides that, the seventh thunder speak the word of the change. To hear the utterances that will give us rapturing faith. What else? What if they told us not to tell anyone? Downstream, huh? What did he not want these three disciples to tell the rest? Well, you can go ahead and imagine it. Perhaps he will tell the rest says, okay, let us go and see Jesus Christ and tell him that's not fair. Why is it not that we are chosen? He has chosen us to be disciples. How come we are left out of this glorious manifestation that only Peter, James, and John saw? Not fair. So don't think because the people out there in the world, they are Christian, they will receive what they would, that God would give them now. You see, if your heart, a person's heart is not in tune with the word, how can God do any other thing? When your heart is in tune with the tradition, or when your heart is in tune with the things of the world that they wanted to have, and we always remember one thing, we must understand, God does not have bastard children. Is that right? God doesn't have grandchildren. My son had to walk with God as the Son of God. Is that true? Every individual. So when God draw nigh to you and tug at your heartstring, you better respond. Okay, so now with all this that went through, as we read later on, we're not going to read all of that. Here comes all that three friends of Job, and they reason with him. Verse 11 of chapter 2. Alright. Oh, we can read verse chapter 2, verse 9. Here his wife said unto him, do you still retain thy integrity just curse God and die? No matter what disaster fall upon you, you have told your friend that you are a Christian. That God bless you, this and that and everything. And then one day your company is gone, one day you're out of a job, one day you are hanging in a hospital on a monkey pole. So what are you going to say? They will come and tell you, perhaps, and wonder, are you sure you believe in the right God? See what happened to you. Huh? See, the wife, he said, obviously, Job's wife wasn't a believer. Just like Sarah wasn't a believer, even as God called Abraham. You see, the thing is that God dealt with the man. God would deal with the woman in Israel to be a prophetess like Deborah is when men have no more backbone. When men lost their backbone, what do you want? He can't stand, he collapsed. There's no backbone. So God has to choose a woman to be a judge like Deborah. But every time when it comes to a family, God always deals with the head. Deal with the man. If the man stand firm, the wife will be there. If the man does not stand firm, oh my, many times the wife will also lose the faith. You see, through a trial, you know, especially in a home trial, wives usually are the ones most of the time seem to be losing out because they seem to be a weaker vessel. Very few wives stand by the man. In this case, we see like Sarah, like Job's wife, what did just curse God and die? And what did he say? Thou speaker has won off the foolish woman speaker. Even in this, Job never even said that you are a fool. He never called the wife a fool. He said, you speak like one of those foolish women out there. You understand? It's a whole lot different, huh? So don't speak like a foolish man or foolish woman. Speaks. Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now, sometimes we get upset, we sin with our lips, you know. Murmur against God, nagging against God so much. Say all kinds of things. Verse 11. Now, when Job's three friends heard about this evil that was come upon him, there came everyone from his house. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, Naaman, Tait. For they have made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Well, they came and they talked with him and counseled with him. They themselves know nothing too as well. So there's a lot of discussion and a lot of damning Job for his sin. That's why disaster came. People think that because you sin, that's why disaster comes. Is it true? That's not true, huh? So, but a lot of Christians don't understand that. When they see a brother or sister get into some big problem, I think he must have sinned. He has sinned. She must have sinned. And they think this and they think that. You think to say that only sinners receive suffering? The Bible said the righteous suffer more than the wicked, you know? Do you know that? So it's not because you have sinned, therefore disaster comes. The Bible tells us the rain fall upon the just and unjust. Sure. Because you go out there, when the rain comes, there are sinners out there, you are out there too. And if the whole skies will open up and send down hailstones like the size of a golf ball and knock all the people out there in the head, and you are out there, so you'll still be knocked on the head. Doesn't mean that the ball will miss you. Or you, when you see it coming, you better say, Lord, don't let it fall on my head. So the rain fall upon our just and unjust. So we have these three friends and all discussing with him and counsel with him and oh my. And then here came along somebody. We go to the book of Job 32. Job 32. Verse 6, 7, 6 to 10. 32, 6 to 10. And Elihu, the son of Barakai, the Buzite, answered and said, I'm young and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and does not show you my opinion. I say, they shall speak, and multitude of years shall teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty give them understanding. Great men are not always wise, and neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I say, hearken to me, I also will show you my opinion. So sometime when the young come to us, old folks with white hair or no hair on top of our head, we need to also open our ears to listen. Right? That's what this Elihu said. I'm young, and Job, you're old. Doesn't mean you eat more salt, you know better than I do. Because there is a spirit in man. It is not about how old you are and how much that you have learned. Like a professor, you know. He has a PhD, THD, whatever the DD all that you have. You think that I know a lot, so I know more. And you young fry just enter university, you think you know better than me. You'd be surprised. That even young students going to university could even invent things or even discover things that this Einstein looking fellow with all the hair sticking from the side of the head, he knows nothing. Isn't it true? So this is about, there is a spirit in man, verse 8, and the inspiration of the Almighty that give them understanding. That is true. It's about the spirit in man in us that when we look to the Lord and the Lord speak to us, that God opens up our understanding. Is that not true? Yes. All right. 33, verse 8 to verse or 6, verse 6 to verse 13. Behold, I'm according to thy wish in God's state. I also am formed out of clay. Who is Elihu? Elihu was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. I am also formed out of clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in thy hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy word, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he find occasion against me. He counted me for his enemy. He put my feet in the stock. He marked all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why do thou strive against him? For he gave not account of any of his matter. Job always said, I've not done this, I've not done that. Well, then it may be true. I'm innocent, all may be true. But every one of us are born in iniquity. We came into the world speaking lie. You don't believe that, do you? Some people say, oh, the baby's hungry, that's why he cried like that. Sometimes the baby cries because, maybe it's not comfortable, maybe it got wind, that's true. But when it grew up to a certain stage, it watched the little fella. It can be very rebellious. One thinks his own way. You know, my Zoe and Raymond, we always chat a little bit on the WhatsApp. Sometimes send us photographs. So just last week or so, she sent a photograph of, in the morning, sent a photograph how then, Adam had a good time playing on the slide, and then in the afternoon as they go by, she sent me a picture. Adam was out there in the car park, lying on the, between cars right there, and cry. I said, what happened? He said, he refused to come back home. He went his way. He threw a tantrum. See? Come to a stage that he know how to demand. I want my rights. Everybody wants their rights. And that's what Job is saying. I did nothing. I did this. I'm good with it. I'm coming on iniquity. Blah, blah, blah. Huh. And that's what Elihu told him. You see, you don't strive against God. Yeah, sometimes we strive against God, don't we? Yeah, we do. We get really upset and we start to speak with our lips against the Lord. 34. Furthermore, Elihu answered and said, hear my words, O you wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear try words, as the mouth tells me. Let us choose to ask judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job have said, I am righteous, and God have taken away my judgment. Shall I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. What man is like Job, who drink up scorning like water, which go in company with the workers of iniquity and walk with the wicked man? For he have said, it profit a man nothing, that he should delight himself with God. Therefore hearken unto me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall be rendered unto him, and cause any man to find according to his way. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Verse 13, who have given him a charge over the earth, who have disposed the whole earth, the whole world. Now, when God tried Job, was it God doing something wicked? You know, when God tried out, there is always a purpose. But those three friends of Job are just trying to find an occasion. Maybe Job did this, he did that, and this and that. And that's why people are quick to judge. Such and such a thing happened. We presume too much. This. So when a person falls, don't say that God is dealing in a very strict way with him. No. 34, verse 37. Let men of understanding tell me, and let the wise men hearken unto me. Job has spoken without knowledge. And true, that's what it is all about. Job doesn't have, he's still ignorant of things that God wants to show you. You know, man, that we are so ignorant of many things too. And God needs to show us. He may expose us as a way to make us feel ashamed. To make us to realize. Alright? Verse 35. Job have spoken without knowledge, and his word was without wisdom. My desire is that Job may be tried unto the end. Hey, we all be tried unto the end. Yes, but Adi. So we try unto the end because of his answer for wicked men. For he added rebellion unto his sin. He clapped his hand among us and multiplied his word against God. Yeah, sometimes we think that we know the judge and we say, yeah, that's it, he deserved it, yeah, right. You know, Job 35, verse 1. Elihu spoke moreover and said, think thou this to be right, that thou said, my righteousness is more than God's? Oh my. That's the same as like we all say, I didn't do anything wrong. If you don't do anything, why you can all say, I didn't do anything? Why must this thing fall upon me? I didn't do anything. Let me say, I'm right, I'm righteous. Why this thing come upon me? So you are saying only bad things happen to people who commit sins, and bad things. The good don't suffer. Alright. 33. Go back to 33 and I want you to look at here. 33 verse 4 to 7. The Spirit of the Lord has made me, and the breath of the Almighty God has given me life. If you can answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up! Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's state. I also am in form of clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy unto you. Elihu here is saying to Job, stand up. I am to you in God's state. I'm coming to you because of God. I'm sent by God to you. Jesus, Elihu was a representation of Jesus Christ. Here was the man that stands in the gap. Elihu stood in the gap between Job and God, so to speak. You know, we are all born in sin. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ to stand the gap between us and God, we'll all be damned. Forever, they're all gone. There are a lot of people in the world who speak without knowledge. Even in Christianity, I saw when I was in the denomination, the pastor, I thought he was a spiritual man who knows a lot of things. But apparently, he was so traditional. The day when I sat there in the leadership meeting, the deacon, the Sunday school, you know, whatever you have done in the church, you know, as a leader, gather ourselves together there to have some time of a discussion of doctrines. So what question was asked the pastor? Pastor, does God knows who will be saved and who will not be saved? He said, yes, God knows everything. Is that right? God's God know everything? Yes. Okay. Then he asked a question. I was sitting behind, I was listening. Wise men don't speak too much. So I sat there, and here the deacon asked the next question. Then, if God knows who will be saved, who will not be saved, then what is the purpose of us preaching the gospel? Then I was sort of pastor, thinking for a while. He has to think for a while. And he said, oh, in this case, God chose not to know. Wow. God chose not to know what he already knows. Who will be saved, who will not be saved. He knows all that, and yet he chose not to know. So that people can all go and hear the gospel. So that you're all supposed to go and preach the gospel. Woo! I mean, we don't know who will be saved, who will not be saved. But God knows. Our duty is to be a witness of the Word of God. So I said, oh my, that's a paradox. God chose not to know what He already know. What He already know, how can He not know? Huh? You see, that's why there's a lot of foolishness when people open their mouth without wisdom. And that's what the three counselors were. When they were talking to Job, And that's why you lose it. You had to have understanding. Listen to what I'm saying. And you jump. You are full ignorant. So God then spoke to Job out of a whirlwind in chapter 34, 38. He became very personal to Job now. Job knew it was God. Because someone stood in the gap. And that someone was Elihu. And yet, in all Job's ability to understand the stars, he couldn't really understand all of it. It was still sealed up. You know one thing about it, when Elihu came and give him some understanding, give him the revelation, then Job knew that he was ignorant. He needed to surrender himself to the Lord completely. He said, from then on, God spoke to him out of the whirlwind. You know, if we don't surrender ourselves, after that we know Jesus Christ, as a man, as the Son of God who stood in the gap for us, okay, for His church. So Christ stand in the gap between you and God, bring you understanding. What else do you need? As Jesus says, no man come unto the Father but by me. So once you realize that Jesus is standing in the gap for you, be like Job. When you surrender, that's when God came in the whirlwind and spoke to Job. God is not in the fire. God is not in the earthquake. But God is still in the still small voice speaking. Huh? God does not always cause sensation. Like in big miracle crusade things. No. Sometimes He speaks to you in a still small voice when you are alone. Amen? So the stars to Job was still not fully known to him. But now, because of this, the stars here, we're going to close now with this zodiac thing. Now we know that there are 12 zodiac signs. They're all given all these are all Greek names. Because the civilization came after Israel, they were all gone to captivities, and then, you know, what happened? One nation, one kingdom after another, one empire after another conquered each other. The Babylonian, the Middle Persian, then the Grecian came along, and after the Roman came along. But the Grecians or the Hellenistic culture stayed with the people. Because the Greek culture was so rich, the Roman absorbed it. So you have all these Greek names and Greek culture thing, you know. As you know, if you watch all those Hollywood movie about Achilles and Thor and all the, you see all this Greek culture, they trace back. So we have these 12 zodiac signs. Oh, they are just signs. The first is Aquarius. But Aquarius is not the beginning of the story in the heaven. So these are just signs. Let me show you names. The constellation of the zodiac here. You see, they all have a path. There are 12 of them. Now, let me see if I can go back again. Okay. Now, look at this. This is the constellation. Now, you must understand with the example of Virgo here. Okay? It's here. And then the next one is Libra. Right around here. Scorpio. But you can see that some of these constellations, they will touch the others that are not in the zodiac. Alright? And so they have sub-story altogether. Now here we have example of Virgo. Here you see this star here. This star here, so many stars. But this is Virgo, the constellation when you join certain stars together, they call this Virgo. But you have this star, for example, like called Prima. Or in the Arabic is Kafi. And they all have meanings in this whole set of constellations. Now, just to go by, of all this zodiac, the story begins not with Aquarius. The story begins with Virgo, the Virgin. All right? It begins with the Virgin, go Libra, all the way up there, and it comes down and ends with Leo. So the Virgin represents Virgin Mary, or Virgo, Virgin Mary. It ends with Leo, the lion. The Christ comes back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as the King of Kings. Now, just briefly to go through with you, then we'll close. Virgo is the seed of the woman. It's the desire of the nation of Israel looking for that promise. Seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is Virgo. Virgo represents the seed of the woman. They are looking for the desire of the nation that was promised in the book of Genesis. Alright? And then, of course, this Virgo was supposed to produce a man, the man child. Exalted shepherd and harvester, because Christ will come at the end of harvest. So, in the Arabic word, for example, the word I said earlier on, the Purima, which is Kafi, it actually, the part where the star touches this woman, is the atonement, the propitiation by sacrifice. So you have a constellation of a zodiac like Virgo. There are all the also other stars there in that same body of constellation. And that tells part of the story. So we have, of course, Virgo means the desire, the branch of the power of God. So the next one is Libra. Libra is a, balance scale. Now, Virgo, if you know your astrology, what month is Virgo? September. Yeah, September to October. They are still singing just the Chinese New Year. That was the year, or that was the month that Jesus was born. Remember. That's why it doesn't start with Aquarius. Is that right? Yeah. So now you understand. So Libra means the price to be paid. So they look at the stars. Okay, here is the price to be paid. And the price, only that, a scale actually has, of course, they have something to stand on. It looks like a cross. So a cross to be endured. The victim will be slain, and then the scale balanced there, a crown is purchased. So he talks about the redeeming, the regaining by purchase, the buying back, and so on and so forth. Scorpio, the conflict, that's the sting. Scorpio. All right. If somewhere on the Scorpio, let's go to the next one, next picture. You see here we have, You see here we see this Virgo moving this way. This way all the way up to Taurus, and then come down from Gemini to and with Leo. Now, if you look at the woman, Virgo, the Virgin, here we have the serpent. Okay, all very close to the Virgin, as well as to this demanding of redemption story, of redemption, and then we have Scorpio here. Now, they are all very closely connected, because it talks about the serpent, how the serpent entered into the human race as well and trying to destroy God's will and all that. Now, if you really want to study this, actually I have a book. I lost the book. The book has all disappeared from me. The Weakness of the Star. Also by E.W. Bullinger. But you can get it on online PDF file for free. Okay? If you like to study, it's very detailed. 200 plus pages. Okay? I even have the book on the pyramid. And that book also disappeared from my library. Lots of my book disappear. I don't know where it goes anyway. Anyway, now we have the Scorpio, the conflict, the serpent's coil, the struggle with the enemy, the toiling vanquish of evil. Then we have Sagittarius, the double-natured one, triumphing as a warrior. Okay, we go back to that picture. Okay, here we have solitaries. The double nature one, triumphing as a warrior, he gladdens the heavens, he builds the fire of punishment, he casts down the dragon. Capricorns, life out of death, the arrow of God pierced and falling, springing up again into abundant life. That is, Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life, I raise it up. Aquarius is one who carries a water, a jug of water. So, he is the water of life. Like water from on high, drinking the heavenly flood, carrying up and speeding the good news, bearing aloft the cross over all the earth. So it's a drinking of this water that gives you eternal life. Okay? And even to say that the spirit of life was poured out, like on Pentecost. Pisces. Multiplication of the Redeemer's people. Going to all the world and preach the gospel. Upheld and governed by the Lamb. The intended bride. Born and exposed on earth. The bridegroom exalted. That's why the church must onward Christian soldiers going as marching as to war. So we go out there. We, you know, multiply the body of Christ. Aries. The Lamb found worthy. The bride released and making ready. Sin bound and the breakers triumphing. So all the other substars, the wounded that was cut off, the treading upon under the foot of the enemy, treading under foot the enemy, and the enemy is punished, and so on. Taurus. Well, Taurus is a bull. The invincible ruler come. That's why even in the sacrifice of ancient Israel. Sometimes they sacrifice the bull. Then the invincible ruler comes, the sublime vanquisher, the river of judgment, the all-ruling shepherd. So the Torah is the leader, is the governor, and the government of shall be upon his shoulder, and so on. Gemini! That's two persons here. Of course, this is just a graphic. They draw two men, sometimes they draw two women, sometimes a man and woman, whatever they want to draw. But that's a constellation. It's the marriage of the Lamb. The enemy trodden down, the prince coming in glory, his princely following. Cancer, procession secured. Last of all, the church of the firstborn, greater for Israel, the bride, safe, folding into the kingdom. So you have to also study, if you study cancer, you look at all the other little stars within there. That they will show you more picture of the story behind cancer. Leo, the last of all. So he's a king. Aroused for the rending. The serpent fleeting, the board of wrath upon him, his carcass devoured. That is, the serpent's carcass. Exaltation, the prize, and so on. Alright, so your hands with Leo. So this is just roughly with the zodiac that tells the gospel story. So there's a lot of detail. If you want, you got to go and read for your own self. Alright? Okay, because I'm not into studying too much of this now, but just to have a rough idea, a simplified idea as to how these people read, you know, the stars in heaven that tells the story. But we are not looking into the zodiac for our horoscope to guide us. The star does not guide us. Okay, except if you want to talk about one star that guides us, it's the star of Bethlehem. Okay, they point us to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? Alright, shall we stand? Gracious Heavenly Father, bless the holy name, Lord. Thank you for grace again. Thank you for today. And while we dismiss from here, O Father, for the baptism, we ask for your blessing too, Lord. We commit the rest of the day to you in Jesus' name. Amen.